You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back.
Glad to be here, Jim.
When I was looking at the stock market boards today, everything was in red. What happened? The only thing that went up in price was natural gas.
Oh, there's a lot of reasons out there. I mean, you know, we have, first of all, I was a little suspicious that something was going to happen here anyway. We sold about everything here in the last 24, 48 hours. The Dow Industrials goes to new record highs, and it's a handful of Dow stocks. And, you know, Dow Industrials is only 30 stocks. I think today about five or six of them are actually still up. To me, that was sort of a bull trap, or you can even call it a manipulation, that perhaps that notorious plunge protection team that, you know, Ronald Reagan created, you know, back in 1988, that is actually called the Working Group of on Financial Markets. It was executive order written by Ronald Reagan back in 1988. This is after the stock market crash. And the theory is that this is supposed to help regulate volatility in the markets. Of course, the government had authority to do stuff before this. Even then, you know, we had there was a stabilization fund, and there was a Gold Reserve Act back from the 1930s. There's all kinds of stuff that the government can intervene in various markets, including currencies. But the point I'm making is that, you know, we saw the Dow Industrial surge to new record highs, hit 50,000, and everybody got exuberant. And I'm looking at the tape, and just about most of the rest of the market was doing poorly. So the first thing that said to me, well, A, that's probably a negative divergence. B, that maybe it's a manipulation on the part of the plunge protection team to sort of mask what's happening in the underlying market, which was actually weak. In fact, today I'm looking at Apple Computer, which is probably the most widely held stock. It was down like 15 points today. And even NVIDIA, the high flyer, was down a little bit today. So, but to me, you know, there were a lot of divergences in the market. We saw this coming. You know, a lot of the big name stocks were under pressure. There's a rotation out of the high flyers, the AI stocks, for the most part, with a couple of exceptions. And we're still in this volatile period. I mean, I keep joking about the February 2nd time frame. You know, the fact that we get volatility around that regarding the Groundhog Day and all that kind of stuff, but we're in the cyclical period between now and the next, I guess, equinox, which is the vernal equinox, March 22nd, March 15th, of course, is the Ides of March. Markets tend to, I think February is the worst performing month of the year, if I'm not mistaken, looking at the statistics. So we're still in this very crazy period. So when I see the Dow into new highs and everything else not doing so well, particularly the high tech, some of the high tech names coming off their highs, and again, only a couple exceptions out there. You know, I can mention a couple of them, but that sort of said it was a little bit of a bull trap. So when you asked me about why the market was down, it didn't, you know, didn't surprise me. It looked really sloppy. I'm looking at the tape, and there's maybe six Dow stocks that were up. All the others were down, even in the Dow, and a couple favorites that have been rallying recently. We had a couple positions, and we got out of those, but a couple favorites out there. And then we had other things going on. The Treasury yield start to uptick here, which is not healthy, you know, talking about higher interest rates versus lower interest rates. There's reduced expectations for the Fed rate cut. So, you know, that was part of it too. And there's this mental attitude, well, maybe it's risk off time on the part of the institutions. You know, they're not really interested in buying all the high flyers right now and during this period of uncertainty with interest rates upticking and so forth. So I think basically, you know, you had weakness in the semiconductors, the financial stocks, mega cap tech stocks. This didn't bode well. You got President Trump asking Jamie Dimon to, you know, lower interest rates on, you know, credit card debt. You know, that's a whole other discussion. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, and you know, we can talk about a lot of individual news stories. But I think basically, you just got to understand that the market is way overdone. You know, looking at the chart, the S&P, I'm probably sound like a broken record, but the S&P is around the 7,000 level, but there's actually a technical number around 6,100, which is 900 points lower. And, you know, that'd be a nice 15, 20% correction. So that's a big chart point if you're doing chart analysis. And I'm not saying it has to happen, but in a cyclical negative period, which could, again, carry into March, you know, that's just some historical precedent for that. Nothing's 100%, but, you know, we do a lot of modeling based on previous market cycles. You know, that's a possibility. You know, that's a possibility. So, you know, they throw the baby out with the bathwater, too. So silver is down. Gold actually start to sell off. Gold stocks. Of course, we know crypto is being underperforming here. Bitcoin, you know, got all the way down to 60,000 after seeing 126,000. It bounced back up, around 70 or so, 72, I think 73, and then it started to head down again. So, you know, the baby with the bathwater theory is working out here. It seems like everything is getting tossed out. So there's risk aversion right now. And, you know, there could be things happening that we don't know about. You know, there's still potential black swan events, Jim. We've talked about this off air. You know, what about the tariff situation with regard to the Supreme Court? Are they going to do anything? Is it going to be negative or positive when they do it? I have no idea how the market's going to respond if they say all the tariffs are illegal and you got to refund the money. Does that mean the stock market goes up or down? I think it's bad for the economy, but, you know, it's good for, I guess, consumers and companies that have to pay higher export import fees. So, you could argue either way on that one. And then we know the Fed's not doing anything with interest rates. I just mentioned the Treasury bond yields are not going down, and it seems like mortgage rates start to back off a little bit, but the housing market still seems to be a little bit of a slump. But I'm looking at some leading stocks like Home Depot, which has been rallying recently. It was up stronger during the day today, Thursday, and then backed off during the end of the day. But it's closer to recent highs than it is recent lows. So there were expectations that if things improve in housing, that would help notably a company like Home Depot. So we'll see if that unfolds or not. You know, there could be, you know, government action to support housing and things that perhaps, could go contra the economic models. In other words, we could, with enough stimulation or incentives, you know, we could see housing prices improve or sales improve, you know, with government intervention of some type. So we'll see if that unfolds. So it's interesting times. But I think the bottom line is you got to learn to take a profit. You know, it's sometimes it's time to fold them. You know what I mean? You know, you see huge moves in the metals and huge moves in stocks, you know, huge moves in the AI stocks and the hyperscaler stocks. And every second word is NVIDIA is the best buy on the planet, and Apple Computers the second best buy on the planet. And, you know, you've been doing this for enough decades, you realize that, suckers are born every day, and the Wall Street is good at encouraging them, too. So I'm bottom line, you know, concerned. I think we could see a significant correction from here.
What's going on with other precious metals like palladium and platinum?
Well, that's a good question. They've suffered a little bit too, you know, with the volatility here. Platinum in particular is really cheap compared to gold. We've talked about this in previous interviews. If you remember decades ago, I hope I can remember the numbers right. You know, gold's at $800, but platinum's at $1,500. You know, it always was double or triple the price of gold. Meanwhile, it's come off its highs. It's off its, it's right near its reaction lows compared to where it was 2-3 weeks ago. I'm looking at an ETF for platinum, for example, which dropped from about 260 down to 180. So nice correction there. So they're following the metals are all, you know, pretty much in sympathy. There was some relative strength in copper compared to the others. So if I had to point to a divergence. I would say copper has held up better than palladium and platinum. And the reason for that, we can argue all day long, is it has to do with demand and it's needing in the power generation business, or, you know, car production and other things that overrides what's happening in the other metals or not. But, you know, metals and commodities tend to all trend together. So I would think even copper would probably need to pull back a little bit. So to answer your question, platinum and palladium, they're all moving in sync here. It's like, you know, de-risking ourselves a little bit, the same reason why the crypto pulled back. The speculative fever seems to have come out of them short term. Doesn't change any big picture potential, but you know, depends where you, how patient you are, and you know, I think time is still on the side of the metals long term. You know, maybe not even near term, not necessarily long term, but in a correction, they all come down.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's happening on the energy markets?
Well, oil has been really the standout, and that's been, you know, it broke out. I was a little, you know, more bullish on it than not. We've been playing some of the oil stocks, but we actually took profits to them in the last 24, 48 hours just because we thought they needed to pull back, and they did start to pull back here a little bit. The big names like Exxon and Chevron, for example, are moving pretty much in synergy with crude oil, but crude oil was down a little bit today as well. So you've had a big move, you know, in crude oil. If you look at ETF for crude oil, it basically went from the mid-60s to $80. So, you know, that was a nice percentage move in a market that many felt wasn't going to go anywhere or was bearish. So I thought it was sort of a catch-up play myself. And, of course, the Venezuelan situation and, you know, geopolitical risks out there had a lot to do with it, too. So I'm still bullish on the oil, but I think you got a little extended and it just needed to correct here a little bit. So you'll probably see more of a pullback in crude oil and some of the big name stocks. But I don't think it's going to be as severe as or anything like what you saw in the metals or in the overall stock market. I think the crude oil itself and energy is still in a catch-up mode compared to where other markets had been. So I think we need to reprice it a little bit. It didn't make sense that gold was, what, get up to about 5,600 and silver to 120 and crude oil still sitting at $65 a barrel. It's still a commodity and it should be influenced by inflationary or speculative pressures and it should have gone higher, which it did. So now we have to watch it. So I think trend is still your friend overall, but I'd be bidding under the market here a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, President Trump is hinting he's going to send another carrier task force to the Middle East. Does that mean a shooting war with Iran? And what would that do to crude prices?
You know, we blew up a lot of their nuclear, you know, facilities. And, you know, at that moment, crude oil didn't do very much. I don't know. You know, you can speculate as well as I can. I think the world's been in the stage of war for a couple of years already or more. I mean, you know, you can talk about everything from Hamas and Gaza to Ukraine, you know, just so much stuff has been going on anyway. And the Iran-Israeli situation going on independently and along with that, it's and then, you know, you got Europe tooling up for war. They want to raise more money and they want to constrict people to, you know, force them into their military, and they think they can take on Russia. Of course, their history says the last time Europe tried to take on Russia was what, one was Napoleon, the second time during Hitler, and both failed in terms of attacking Russia. So I think the history is on the side of Russia if Europe tries to pull anything like that. But in any event, they think they can. So, you know, you got the, you know, warmongers over there. So to answer your question, you know, there's more at stake than just the price of crude oil here, you know, in terms of consequences. And Iran, you know, there's no question you need a regime change. We can thank Jimmy Carter for kicking out the Shah of Iran back in the 1970s, and that really started the problem and to begin with. So we need to have a more, I guess, U.S.-friendly or Western-friendly regime in Iran, and how that's going to happen. I would think that it'll probably end badly for them. You know, I think Trump is pretty firm about his belief there needs to be a regime change there. They talk about their negotiating peace and everything, but you know, you're dealing with people that are you just can't trust. And of course, we've had some past presidents that seem to have fallen in love with Iran, including Obama and others, you know, sending tons of cash over to them. So we've got to change the scenario. And ultimately, you know, with those warships heading in that direction, Jim, I think history is going to be pointing to a change there, and it probably will be violent when it happens. I don't see these people peacefully giving up their positions of authority. And, you know, they did murder 30,000 of their own people or something. It's incredible. They got to go, but hopefully something happens there sooner rather than later with minimal violence.
What's happening on the uranium front?
Well, this is another, you know, I guess you can call mineral energy, you know, related situation occur, you know, like a baby with the bathwater being thrown out type situation all over again. I don't want to sound as negative about it, but the uranium index has pulled back. Today it was down. It was down about a week ago as well. So I think it's just a correction across the board. But the only exception, even though we did see a little bit in copper, as I mentioned a few moments ago, not as much in copper, but lithium, uranium, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, you can run down the list. They all seem, you know, are in a, risk aversion phase right now. They ran up too much, and this profit taker is there, and I'm just going to have to watch the charts and cycles here to try to pick the time when they reverse, which I think they will, but I don't necessarily think it's tomorrow, but we have to cleanse some of the excesses here. They got really, you know, carried away. So I think we're in the de-risking period. So let's see how it plays out, and I would be careful here.
Is President Trump going to go for the stoner vote and legalize marijuana federally?
That's what he says. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants. He wants to reschedule it. Yes, he issued an executive order. It hasn't happened yet. The DEA has to do it. They haven't done it yet. I'm for it. You know, I, a lot of people think I'm crazy for saying that, but, you know, it was deregulated, legalized in Canada and other places in the world. It's like criminalizing alcohol, which we tried during the great prohibition period, and that didn't work. It's something that's been around thousands of years. It has helped a lot of people, particularly in the senior community. And to ban it, to create problems, making it federally illegal here in the U.S. is ridiculous, because you can still get it anyway. So we have, I don't want to get into a long discussion about it, but changing the classification from Schedule 1 down to 3, reclassifying doesn't solve all the problems. You have banking issues. We have to federally legalize it in the United States, just like it was done in Canada. Across the board, 20 states or so say it's legal, and the rest of the states in the U.S. say it's not. That's ridiculous. So we got to just clean the air, clear it up, set whatever guidelines you need in place that minors don't get to it, and so forth and so on, just like alcohol, and just clean the slate. So I think he's behind getting that movement going. It should have happened already. No, the previous presidents didn't want to do it, and it's about time we're taking some action. So I'm for it. I hope it happens sooner rather than later. And meanwhile, you got to keep an eye on some of those cheap cannabis stocks, because they will benefit immensely if some of these changes occur.
Anything on the geocosmic front we have to keep an eye on?
It is relatively quiet right now. It is relatively quiet. There are a couple little sunspot things floating around. We have a couple of lunar cycles coming up, but the big one I keep talking about are the seasonal patterns, and the next big one is the vernal equinox coming next month. So that's sort of a big potential change point time frame. And if it's anything like what we saw back in 2020 during the COVID crisis, it could be a big market low, and maybe that's your big buy point for all the markets. So that's sort of an ideal scenario. I don't know if that's going to work out, but that sure will look nice on the cycle charts. So let's see what happens.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.